Hey Fadies, I'm DM Brad, and this is Chapter 6, Episode 14 of The Fate of Icen. Thanks for downloading and listening. You're really good at that. Downloading, listening, you're just the best. You know what else is the best? When awesome folks like you give us reviews on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podchaser, and all the other places where reviews go. That's the super best. We love getting those because it feels good to know that you're enjoying this weird show that we like making, and it helps new listeners find out about us. So if you haven't done that already, maybe, like, totally, like, possibly, like, you could, like, maybe do that, please? Don't have to, but it would be pretty sweet if you did. Anyway, groveling aside, we are once again joined by our very good friend Waffles from the Waffles and Mario Talk About Things podcast. Okay, enough preamble. What happened last time? Last time, Marley, Arcus, and Drew travelled to the town of Caplane, which was under attack by a host of plant creatures, all under the control of an evil dragonborn druid named Mitchell Moore. They defeated a few creatures, rescued some innocent civilians, and Arcus discovered just how much of a badass they truly are.
Where do we come from? Where do we go? Die, you fools.
Joe, I couldn't leave it. I'm sorry.
Curse of the bard.
It's part of your white heritage. You can't not. No. It's all white people. It's the curse we live with. We can't. Like, we're privileged in many ways, but if we hear the start of Cotton Eye Joe, we gots to finish it.
I do have a playlist of, like, songs that can't help but make white people go beyond turned that I like to grab out at parties that I'm at in Wellington.
Where Sweet Caroline? Like, Sweet...
I will pull up the list of songs. Give me 1 second because it's worth it. You'll hear these songs, you'll be like, yes.
While you bring that up, so...
I think we're heading back to where we were originally heading to before we got distracted by calling out. Does that answer the question?
Okay. So the metagame knowledge that I gave you at the start of the session was that we would have 2 encounters and then we would have 3 events that form a skills challenge. Mm-hmm. So that skills challenge will take the shape of you're going to fight, much like you did in the underground city with the crumbling buildings. In this, you're going to find groups of 10 civilians in distress from the veggie pygmies. And... Mm-hmm. Each of you is going to take a turn at being the lead, but what we'll do is you will pick a skill, and then all of you as a group will roll, and you're looking for a DC of 30 combined. And if you succeed, then you effortlessly deal with these veggie pygmies in whatever way works with the skill you chose, and you save the people. If you fail, you stop them, but too late. You lose the people.
The songs on the start of this playlist are as follows. Don't Stop Believing. Bohemian Rhapsody, Living on a Prayer, Come on Eileen, Sweet Caroline, Sweet Home Alabama, You Shook Me All Night Long, Cotton Eye Joe, I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles, Red Solo Cup.
Yeah. Everyone who heard that list just now just got like 5% whiter.
And is also now singing one of them to themselves.
Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum.
I'm still singing 22 by Taylor Swift.
I should put that one on there.
Yeah, and the last one I'll end on is Mr. Brightside because that's
an anthem. Oh my god. Yeah, do you know how many times I've been screamed at when we start playing that? There's always some chick right in the front row who's just like, just like loses her damn mind.
I went to the Killers. I really enjoyed them. They opened with Mr. Brightside and then they followed it with Somebody Told Me. So I was like, cool, that's all I need left.
Those
I love
are the
Killers.
Two songs.
I love all 2.5 of their songs.
Yes.
Oh, rude.
The Half is Human. Or are we human or are we dancer? Because that's a good song.
I was
yeah, okay, as... but what are the other ones? No, it was a really good, I stayed till the end. It was a really, really good show. They had like double confetti cannon points and like it was incredible. Even the opening band was really, really cool. I will give them high praise, but it is funny to say that there are 2.5 songs. So
there definitely used to be 2.5 songs, but like they have, yeah.
I couldn't name any others. There are definitely ones that I like, but like the human one, Mr. Brightside, and Somebody Told Me are the bangers, and I will fight people on those.
Yeah. When you were young, though, you said that one, right?
No, I don't know that song.
When you were young and all these things, I would argue that everybody actually knows those songs. But nobody actually knows all these things because they only know, I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. But they don't know actually what the song's called. Like,
I know, I didn't know that. Anyway. Killers. Anyway. Tangent.
The Killers. The Killers. Awesome.
Skillers. Skills Challenge.
Right.
There we go.
Great.
Back on track. Are we human or are we bigling?
Hey, didn't somebody say that they love our banter that's sometimes RPG related?
Skills challenge is, yeah, so as you are continuing on your, so you said you were going to head to the outskirts to like presumably go where the people have been fleeing. But in doing so, you come across a similar situation to the first, where you see 10 men, women, and children in immediate distress from another group of veggie pygmies. So one of you pick a skill as the lead, and then all of you roll that skill, and you're looking for a total of 30.
Now, Brad, considering we have collectively plus 10 to stealth each, if I said stealth, that's 30 right there.
Okay.
So could I just
if
say
you can
stealth,
justify me how you deal with them solely using stealth, or with stealth being the major component, then go for it. That's a freebie for you.
So there's only 4 the pygmies, yeah?
Let's say there's 10 this time. 10 on 10. Okay. 10 pygmies, 10 people. Why not?
All right. So they can't see us coming, and we're effectively, it's raining, and so there's already that sensory, you know, distillation. And this is from somebody who was hit by a car in the rain. It's difficult to tell when stuff is coming when it's raining.
Good bringing in the personal, like, trauma. It's hard to argue against that. Nice.
It is. We're already good to go. Like, we've already taken stuff out. We're in the zone.
And I'm in my natural element.
Yeah, they're in their natural element. And Marley, she's, you know, hocking that crossbow like it's nobody's business. I've got a magical stick. We're ready for this. I think they'll never see us coming, and it'll be just like straight out of John Wick, but like there's 3 John Wicks, just like taking out like 3 1/3 of these things each before like all the bodies are hitting the ground before they even know we're coming. Like,
okay, for mathematical simplicity's sake, I will retcon and say there are 9 of them.
All right. So like it's, we just got to take out 3 of them each. It's just like wabang, wabang, wabang. They're done. Like, start from the outside, work our way in.
Okay. And does everybody else have input for that plan?
I like it. I'm a fan. I would like to stab someone from behind. I think that's fun. It's a good family activity.
Marley stows her crossbow bolt for a second and pulls out the masterwork frost dagger that the Kiori's made for her and, like, spins it in her fingers and is like, yeah, buddy, ready to go.
Nice. It's almost not worth rolling.
Right, I also have a dagger, so.
So we've all got daggers.
And I got plus 10 dagger.
I said daggers.
We all got plus 10 stealth. I've got naturally plus 5 stealth anyway, so I'm already plus 15 stealth. And that's half of it right there.
Okay. Roll it anyway to see if anyone gets nat 1 so we can chaos curse this bitch.
What are we rolling? A
D20. You're rolling a stealth check.
Right, cool.
I rolled a 2, but it's a 17. So.
So the pass without a trace.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's not a nat 1. It's fine, because I have disadvantage on stealth at the moment with the extra armor and stuff that I'm holding, so I wondered if it cancelled it out. But
I got
12. Literally, see, there we are. You just need to roll something that isn't a 1.
Yeah, well, I got 11 just by myself without any of the extra bonuses. Yeah.
So there we go.
Oh, yeah, that's all I rolled was 12.
Easy peasy. You all three formulate this great teamwork plan, and in 24. perfect sync with one another, you just approach these creatures from behind, and three apiece, just dagger, 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 dagger.
Did you just crit roll us? Or did you say it too many times so it wasn't crit roll?
Dagger, 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 dagger. 9.
Yeah.
There are 9 of them.
Yeah.
And, Woff, do you think Drew has reservations about killing them now? Or is that...
For his 3, can he have them non-lethal? Can he just knock them out?
Just hit them with the butt of the dagger or something?
Yes.
Okay, sure, why not?
Cool.
Yeah, so 6 of them get brutally murdered and 3 just get knocked out, get a concussion. And then get left in the rain to die anyway.
Drew is non-lethal. He doesn't want to be responsible for the death of things.
Okay, Link. And yeah, all the survivors, they all take advantage of the immediate moment, because they saw you coming and they luckily didn't give it away. And as soon as all their targets are felled, they just bolt in the direction that you were going anyway. And it's just this pack of 10 people running through the rainy streets. And then you have another situation very similar to that pop up. And who's in charge now?
I have +7 to survival if people want to help me with that.
I got +4 on survival.
How are you going to use survival?
We survive the encounter.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Well, no, we're in the middle of like some pretty intense weather, right? We could do it so that we set up traps and stuff. I feel like that is survival. We loop little lassoey ropes around their legs and trap them, survival styles. Like Bear Grylls.
So your intent is to incapacitate instead of kill this time?
Yes.
You want to trap them?
Yeah. I mean, it's a case of survival, isn't it? You know? Sometimes to survive, you have to kill.
Hey, I'm taking my 3 alive.
Jules, is Marley on board with this plan of using survival skills to trap them?
I mean, I guess.
You're part ranger. You should have good survival as being a ranger.
No, I'm only part ranger. Yeah, sure.
Okay, everyone roll a survival check.
Nat 20.
Well, fuckity
do. 24.
21.
I got 11.
Well, that all adds up to way over 30, so... Yeah. You all... Almost like
go team.
Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. You just pull some shenanigans and end up trapping these 9 things in various ways.
I imagine at some point Marley's using her like crossbow to shoot arrows in places to like string up ropes and things.
Yeah, get some pulley mechanisms going. Someone swings some paint cans at them.
I electrocute a tree.
Yeah, okay, great. That's 2 down, one scenario to go. So yeah, the same thing. Survivors, they watch you. They just watch for a few minutes as you set this shit up. They're like,
we do that. And I'm like, this is how you survive.
And murmuring to each other like, what are they doing? And shut up, you'll blow the cover. And then, yeah, some of them are helping you by, like, distracting. Hey, green guys, over here, look at us. Don't look behind you. There's nothing nothing interesting happening over there.
Clearly, there's nothing interesting behind us. We're just going to have to keep focusing on the prisoners, obviously. I'm just going to walk into the circular-shaped rope on the ground. Nothing bad could happen there.
Did you boys put this one here?
The creatures are all incapacitated, and the survivors all take the opportunity to bolt. There's one more scenario similar to that same situation. So, and Marley's going to be in charge of this one.
Okay. Well, I mean, Marley's skills are mostly around charisma-based checks, so...
Here we go.
So she would probably try and get you guys to, like, help her intimidate the others, or maybe persuade the remaining, like, hostages to help sit on the remaining kind of enemies, you know, like, take them down with us, so, like, persuade them to actually help
fight
us.
Back?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we've already killed two groups of you guys.
Yeah. So it's like, look how easy it is. Come on, you can do it. You know you can. Like, she's doing a sort of a persuasive speech.
Empower the people to be their own protectors.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, roll up some persuasion, everybody. Marley has, like, plus 100, so it doesn't matter.
I only got 7.
29.
I got 12.
Marley almost does it by herself. Yeah, 30, and Brad, really? That's
and I only rolled a 16, so I could have done it by myself.
This is dumb. I don't know difficulties. You effortlessly convince these people to rise up and launch at their attackers, and they do. They easily overwhelm them. It's also helped the fact that as you yell for them to be their own protectors, some of the veggie pygmies turn to face you as well, which means that the survivors are like, jump on the ones that have turned away, and then it just turns into a rumble, and before long they have risen victorious. Nice. And they all puff their chests with pride, and 9 of them run off. 1 remains, and it is a tabaxi woman. She has sort of like silver fur, and she's got like crinkles around her eyes, and so it's obvious she's quite a bit older. And she's wearing like a thick deerskin coat and heavy boots, and she's got a longbow that's stowed on her back, and there's this big beautiful flower behind her ear that's sort of it's bright red, and it's like a contrast to the blue rain that's falling around everywhere. It's like a beacon. And she looks very like wilderness hardened as well. This woman is a survivor, and she sort of takes one little extra like stomp on one of these creatures, almost like a last fuck you, and then she puts up her chin a little bit with sort of pride, a bit of arrogance, and then she says, "These plant creatures, they've been attacking the town for hours now. I've taken care of a lot of them myself, but the man who's unleashing them, I don't know when or if he will ever stop. Thank you for letting these people rise up and save themselves. Something I've been trying to do."
This person who's been behind this, do you know where they are?
She says, "Oh yes, he is I believe it's a he. A creature I've never seen before, has lizard-like features. They've been standing in the town, right in the center of town, next to a giant flower that I can only imagine they conjured themselves, because it wasn't there before. He walked into town this morning and demanded to speak to whoever was in charge. Some of the guards tried to apprehend him, but he just slashed them down with his axes like they were nothing. I tried firing on him with my bow, but he just deflected my arrow with a gust of wind. Then he sent a pack of these things," and she sort of again stomps the veggie pygmies under her feet to come after me, and I've been moving around the town in the shadows since then. The rain has helped to keep me hidden, which is a blessing.
Do you know if he's still in town?
I can imagine so. He was bellowing something about how his people have been away from the world too long, and that the humans and the elves and all the other races have squandered the natural gifts of the world.
That is true.
Yeah. Drew, he makes a good point.
Drew just puts up a finger and says, "Give me a minute. I've been saving this, but I think now is the appropriate time." And he is going to cast a spell that's going to take him a minute to do, so...
Okay, so you are just incapacitated for a minute while you do a thing. Marley and Arcus, do you interact with this tabaxi woman at all? She doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
No, I explicitly ignore her.
Okay. Did she introduce herself by name? Sorry, I missed that.
No,
if she did.
She hasn't.
So that's what I would ask. I would be like, hi, I'm Miley Crife. Maybe you've heard of me. Who are you?
Oh, I'm afraid I haven't heard of you, but don't be offended. I haven't heard of many people. My name is Pin, and she reaches out a hand to shake yours.
And Miley grabs it and shakes.
Yeah, she says, I make it a habit to stay away from towns and cities as much as possible. I live in the mountains, and she gestures to sort of some nearby foothills. She says, and I only came to town today to get some supplies and trade wildflowers. It seems I ran into much more than I bargained for.
Yes, we were sent here on a god's mission to save this village.
She raises an eyebrow, like...
We're here on a mission from God.
Yeah, exactly. In sort of... In not believing you, in sort of like, that's absurd.
Yeah, and Marley sort of laughs and is like, yeah, I know. It was hard for me to wrap my head around too, but just trust me. I'm not even terribly religious, but it is hard to be agnostic when the God is literally talking to you.
She says, which god would that be?
Hate it.
And then she looks around at the sort of natural surroundings and, yeah, she was about to say something and then she says, oh, the knowledge god.
Well, he knew it was happening. He's not very good at the future, but he did know that this was already happening, so kind of sent us here.
Okay, well, I suppose whoever or whatever told, you know, the truth is, whatever led you here, be it godly or otherwise, was definitely a blessing. I thank you for your assistance.
Marley nods and is like, well, are you planning on sticking around to see this thing through, or are you being on your way now? Either is fine by me, by the way, but there is a giant wolf out there with wings that you might see, and he's with me. It's okay.
Yeah, she looks a bit horrified at the idea of a giant wolf with wings. But then, yeah, she says, well, from what I can gather, there are fewer and fewer people remaining in the town. They all seem to have evacuated. Some of the survivors that I was just with, they suggested that there was some kind of shelter that the mayor built some time ago to protect from hill giants. I imagine that's where they've all gone. But I can stick around.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, and she has a look on her face of, like, gritty determination. Like, I've seen a fight or two. I can do this.
Yeah, I think Marley clocks that, you know, without even really having to roll an insight or whatever. Is like, yep, I'm sure she'll come in handy. She looks like she's, you know... Besides, Marley's not terribly... She's pretty cocky these days, so she's not terribly bothered about somebody, like, betraying her or whatever. She's like, eh,
yesterday I killed... Yesterday I killed a dragon. Fuck off.
I guess she'd look around at her friends to see what they were up to and if they were sort of ready to move on yet or not.
Yeah. So Arcus, what does she see when she looks at you? Like, what's your input here?
Hello. My name is Brother Arcus, and I am here to talk to you today about our god. His name is Haydet, and he knows many things because he is the knowledge god.
She says, that was very informative.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I like hold out a hand like for a tip.
She ignores it and says, I must say, in all my years, I've never seen a creature quite like you, but.
Oh, we always got to bring race into it.
Yeah, she gestures to herself, a cat person, and she says, we're going to go there, aren't we?
Hey, clouds are way more disrespected than cats are, man.
And at this point, Drew finishes his spell.
He says, well, have you seen anything that looks like this? And
he gets his dick out.
No. He gets his bush out.
It's quivering.
It is quivering.
Something much worse. He's summoned a Zorn, which is...
An elemental monstrosity.
It's an earth elemental. Well, it's an It's from the Earthen plane.
So describe the way that gets summoned. What? So does that like claw its way out of the ground or something?
Or actually, it has a thing where it doesn't actually disturb the earth when it moves through it. And so it just almost floats out of the ground. And for those who don't know, this is a sort of giant rock that has three legs, three arms, and a giant gaping mouth.
Yeah.
So it's like a Yugoloth or whatever.
An Otiog.
Otiog. That's the one I was thinking of.
And yeah, Pin, as this thing just emerges, she reels back in true horror.
It's friendly. It's friendly. It's friendly. It's friendly. His name is Jasper. He's cute.
Debatable.
I look at Jasper the Zorn and says, don't hurt anything except the dragoon-born druid. Not me, the other druid.
What was that word you just said? Dragoon-born. What is that? I don't know what that is. Is that what this person is?
It's
a dragoon-born.
What Haydet said that the druid is.
Well, actually, he said dragon, but I think we've renamed them.
I'd heard dragoon.
I heard dragoon. I don't think. Yeah, I know. Do you hear something else? I think maybe there's something wrong with your ears.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. They are kind of pointed and elfy looking.
They are pointy. To be fair, I think my ears are pointy too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I go to Jasper the Zorn and I say, find and attack. Don't kill if you don't have to. Non-lethal if you can. This other druid.
Okay.
Yeah. When I say this, after I finish saying this, I turn into a giant spider. Because I'm a druid.
Steven!
This pin tabaxi woman is having real second thoughts about like some freaky shit is happening. And then she says, so that thing that you made, and she's talking to the spider, that thing is going after this dragoonborn.
I nod. And okay. I gesture
she
to
understands
follow.
What, she understands what a nod mean, and then she looks at all of you and says, do we have to do anything?
I'm going to follow. I'm going to help him out. So I'm going to follow along. But also, I've got like a +7 to stealth, and so I'm going to like stealthily follow Jasper.
Okay. So just you?
If others can follow if they want to.
I guess. I'm kind of intimidated by the behemoth.
He's friendly. He's cute. He's fine. He's your friend. He literally won't attack you unless I lose concentration, and then it'll attack me and then probably disappear. So... like, it's kind of a risk, me summoning this thing, but I think it's worth it.
Sometimes you just have friends that you have to pay attention to when they're over, you know?
Yes.
Or they'll break your stuff.
Yeah. But no.
We all have those friends, yeah.
But he's friendly. He's not going to attack anyone except who I tell it to attack, and I've just told it to attack the other druid, so it's not going to attack anybody else.
Molly sort of looks in the direction of where they left Hodge and... shrugs and is like, well, who am I to really say what someone's pet or friend should be? Mine came back from the dead, a different size with wings, so, you know.
It what?
God of knowledge!
Who exactly
that's a secret
are
knowledge,
you people?
Liv.
Well,
who are you people? You talk to the god of knowledge, you have dead wolves coming back to life that can fly, you've got whatever this thing is, and she gestures both to Arcus and then as a second thought to the giant spider that was a halfling a moment ago, and there's some kind of strange demon hunting our prey for us. How long have I been in the mountains?
If you want answers to anything, all you have to do is sign up to our Skyontology package. You just come along. We're incorporating the God of Knowledge into everything. So what we're going to do is you just tell us like all your most like secretive, important like things that you're really scared about. And we'll just tell you if that's good or bad and then keep those on record.
Yeah, I think Marley is trying to sort of like like, nope, not the time. Not the time for the package. Nope.
Wait, you, you want the song time. Again? Hello, my name.
Okay, so what we're dealing with here is the Resistance. A special squad of the Resistance called the Apple Squadeth. That's who we are. In a simplified format. Because this is much harder to explain.
You just gestured to all of me.
I am not a this.
I'm a that. Thank you very much.
Apologies. That is much harder to explain.
Thank you. I feel seen. Which I ironically don't like. Stop perceiving me.
And yeah, Pin, the mountain tabaxi woman, says, well, should we go? Making a point of like hugging her longbow tight, like, I've got this. This is my contribution.
Her longbow. And I pull out my hand crossbow and I go, I got one of those, sort of. It's littler. But it fires 4 times and the bolts glow, see?
She says, it's not the size that counts, dear. It's what you can do with it.
I'll show you. Well, he just kind of trails off.
You just do
and
a hail of thorns.
My axe.
Do you just make your arm into a cloud?
Yeah,
axe?
Into an axe, and I put it in the middle. Like.
Now we're doing that scene
with your two bows and my axe. We can do something.
Save the planet of Pfizer.
Set up a hammock.
Set up a hammock. Yeah. Mitchell Moore.
Do we know that it's the druid's name, or
we do now?
Yeah. Haydet told you that before you came here,
right? Yes. Good old Haydet. Yes.
So we walk out going, Mitchell Moore.
Okay, so you're walking through...
He'll never hear us coming.
You're walking through the town in the bucketing, hammering rain. Arcus, Marley, and Pin are following the giant spider, who is following the Zorn. Hodge is still perched up on a roof somewhere in town. I guess he's the backup plan. He's the cavalry if all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, he's keeping an eye out for it. If he can see me, I wave to him.
Okay, we'll just say he can. You wave, and you don't know this, but he gives you, from a distance, like a sniper watching, he gives you like a little nod. And you're like... Yeah,
you I know he's got me. I have faith. We're connected. Because we're a ranger and a familiar. Companion. Companion, not familiar.
Yep. Although he is quite familiar to you now. Waffles, what kind of distance are you, the giant spider, following the Zorn? Is it like right behind it, or are you just sort of watching it from afar?
Sort of watching it, like sort of making use of spider climb and sort of like sticking to rooftops. And so the Zorn is sort of going through the streets with Drew on the roof, watching him sort of as the Zorn moves down one block, then sort of Drew follows. So he's about a block behind, so I'd say about 100 meters, whatever that is in feet.
Okay, and I'll get Marley and Arcus to roll and make a perception check to see if you are able to keep track of the spider climbing all over these buildings.
I got an 11.
I do reckon if we were to take shots every time that Waffle said sort of, we would be very, very drunk by now already.
Honestly.
About half of my editing time is removing sort of.
Sort of, or me,
with
I'm like...
I remove about 300 sort ofs and about 300 likes from every episode.
Yep.
I definitely say like a lot. 5.
Patreon bonus, just a compilation. All the sort ofs, all the likes.
It's just all of the ums as well.
14 minutes of like sort of, like sort of.
14 minutes.
All the sort ofs. All the sort ofs. All the sort ofs. If you like it, put your hands up. Like. Sorry.
Like and subscribe. JD, you don't see the spider. You completely lose track of it. And like with the rain and...
Maybe I just don't care to see it. Maybe I have a fear of spiders and I look away because I detest them.
Okay, hey, I will tell spiders, that to Stephen.
Spiders are amazing creatures.
Not Stephen. He's the exception that proves the rule.
We love Stephen.
What's your problem with me? I'm just a friendly spider. What are you doing? Why are you hating me? I didn't do nothing to you.
No, not Stephen. Oh, it's Drunk Marley. Back again, isn't it?
That's Soldier Marley from Depton, isn't it?
Oh, but she's had a couple of beers, mate.
Couple of craft ciders, didn't she? Arcus, whether Arcus likes it or not, they've completely lost track of the giant spider, which means it could be right behind them. Marley, you with an 11, you sort of see, you have a vague idea of where it is. Like you see it pop up every now and then as it's climbing from building to building up ahead of you. So Zorn is in the lead, and then following that is giant spider. Then following that is the two or the three of you.
Mm.
Waffles, you see the Zorn walk into what you imagine is the like town center. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you get a complete line of sight to a man in a green robe just standing there next to a giant flower.
The moment that I see this, I want to go into stealth and just stay there.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just let you. I'm not going to get you to roll. You just stop where you are. You're unseen. Mm-hmm. You can cool. just see the Zorn. And does it just continue?
Yeah, the Zorn has been told to subdue this guy, to attack him non-lethally. So non-lethal damage. Yeah, so the Zorn,
okay.
If he sees him, he's attacking.
Okay, so, yep, the Zorn stalks in the rain towards this dragonborn man, who just, you notice, he just sort of turns his head towards the Zorn coming. He's not concerned about it. Or, like, very cockily, like, very confidently, just like, oh yeah, what's this then? And by now, the other two have caught up, and you see as the Zorn is approaching this person and is about to strike.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do something from a distance, or do you just watch and wait and see what happens with this elemental servant?
What kind of element is it again?
Earth.
Your natural enemy.
Yeah, fun, exactly.
Fun fact about Zorns is that they find gems, is that they have a natural treasure sense. And so Drew is actually surprisingly wealthy back in Stonemaw, because Zorn just goes and... you know, finds gemstones and stuff for him. And plus, among rocks and stuff, he's invisible, pretty much.
Mm. I feel like water beats earth. So, if I create water and just, like, dump it on the earth elemental, will that do anything?
It's already getting rained on.
That's true. I don't know. I just thought it would be fun.
Can you create more water than the rain, than the torrential rain that's already falling?
You know the earth elemental's our friend, right?
His name is Jasper, and he's hilarious, if you understood Terran.
Great at parties.
Yes.
Because he plays all the rock music.
And he's often
podcast
getting
stoned. Podcast is cancelled.
I hate it here.
I will play no part in that releasing to public ears.
He's going to edit that out just to piss us off.
Yeah, but don't edit out the reactions. That's what's important.
Yeah, I'll keep everything but bleep the
joke. Me and
itself.
Waffles like laughing at ourselves.
Yeah. Censor it.
The Zorn is great at parties because of the bleep music. What was the word?
What did she say?
Amazing.
If we had Oliver just in this recording right now, you know he would have thrown a racial slur in there. Just think.
Oh no.
What did she bleep out? Oh, I bet it was.
Troll. Yeah, get it? Because D&D races.
Nice. Podcast is cancelled again.
Yeah, I feel like we've re-cancelled it. Yeah.
JD just won D&D and no use going on, so.
But two wrongs make a right, right? And that's much less than that.
Yeah, so what you can see in this town square as the Zorn is approaching is you do see the man in the green robe just standing completely unaffected by the rain and by the approaching giant elemental creature. And standing next to him is... Make a perception check.
Roll perception.
For me. You know me, JD. You know me.
I'm talking 16. To the man in the green robe.
16? Okay, yeah, so you can... He's mostly concealed by his cloak. So it's like a ragged, weather-beaten green coat, which is dark green because of how wet it is. You can see a little bit of green dragon-like or dragonborn muzzle sticking out the front. And he is standing with his hands by his sides, holding two sickles that they sort of look like giant animal claws on sticks.
Cool.
And he's just sort of standing still, just... All he's doing is just getting rained on. He's not doing anything.
Cool. Stuff.
Can I see him yet?
Yes, you can. And you can roll perception, or you can just take in the info that he got.
I shoot him.
Okay. All right, so the Zorn is about to approach. You are firing off a bolt. Roll initiative, everybody, I suppose.
Drew is sitting this fight out.
Okay, is this going to be the Zorn?
Yeah. To be clear, Brad, I'm shooting to kind of draw attention / not really kill. Because I am very aware that, you know, Drew is going to want to talk to this dude.
Non-lethal.
Okay.
Yes. Zorn rolled an 8.
Okay. I rolled a 25. I rolled a net 20 plus 5. Ew. Net 20.
19.
Pin gets a 5. Mitchellmore gets a... What is his... 11 plus... Oh, okay, not a lot.
You've got that song stuck in my head, JD.
I'm talking to the man in the green coat.
The giant flower next to him got a 22.
Stop fucking up the town would be a good start.
Yeah, so this flower that you see next to him is very large. It's about 10 feet tall, and it's sort of like a clump of green roots and vines and things with big bright yellow flowers bursting out the top of it. And it's standing there on vines almost as legs. Sort of like a big vine squid, almost.
Mm.
And
is that
Zorn...
a wine squid with an accent?
Eat wine squid.
A vine squid.
Yep, so first to act is Miss Craff.
Yeah, so I'm going to shoot this dude in his face. Well, not in his face, okay. In his shoulder.
We'll say you're at a distance of 100 feet. Oh, no, 80 feet to begin.
Yeah, that's fine. It's well within my range. 28? Does a 28 hit, Brad?
It sure dizzle.
And how's a 21?
Yeah, that's hit-a-rooney. So that's two hits?
Yeah.
Four bolts?
I'm just doing all the bolt math. 20. I will have 24 bolt damage, please.
Nice, yeah. Just these four glowing blue bolts just embed into him very quickly. And yeah, so he faces where the bolts came from, and that also makes his body turn towards the Zorn that's approaching him. And next to act is the flower, which I just need to bring up some statistics. Okay, so it's going to... the flower's going to use its turn to walk... closer to the Zorn to close the distance between it, and then it's just going to attack the Zorn three times with its tentacles. It is deemed it a threat, or at least it is deemed it a threat to its master.
Right.
Makes sense.
I mean, it's not wrong.
15, 8, and 12.
no, no, and no.
Okay, so yeah, it just whips out three vine tentacles all at the Zorn, and the Zorn dodges back and forth between them, and the last one just sort of like scrapes off the side of it. It's not affected at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Zorn is standing right in front of it, and it's Arcus's turn.
I would like to do a guiding bolt at the creature.
At the flower thing or the yes. druid?
Wait, the flower?
Okay. Yep.
Do a Are they both bolt. The same distance away?
Well, they're about 20 feet apart now because the flower moved to intercept the elemental.
Yeah. So the flower's closer.
So I can still reach it. Great. 9 to hit.
That is not a hit.
It's pretty weak source.
Are you doing anything else with your turn?
Could I do the... Oh my gosh, what's it called? The bonus action.
Oh, your spiritual with weapon?
My spiritual weapon, yeah.
Yep, what's the distance on attacking with that?
60.
Okay, you are 60 feet from... You're 60 feet from the flower, exactly, because you were 80 and it moved closer.
Only just. Okay, I got 26 to hit.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that's a hit. So you summon up some kind of ghostly apparition of a weapon. Of a boomerang. Watch me throw my boomerang, guys. yeah. My name's Arcus.
I didn't know we were Aussies. Everybody be right confused, mate.
Yeah, you've gone back into Cockney.
I so cannot hold an accent, eh? It's so bad.
I can do an Australian accent. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Australia.
My phrase is always a dingo stole me baby.
Oh, no.
It's truth, mate.
Rotten.
I am genuine Australian man.
Where the bloody hell are ya?
I always had a problem with that "where the bloody hell are ya" tourism slogan. It's so aggressive.
I'm in New Zealand, the superior country. That's where I am.
Exactly. Well, like, what slogans did they reject when they chose "Where the bloody hell are ya"?
Like, where the bloody hell are ya?
Oi, fuckwit! We're over here.
Get here, you cunt! We got deserts and spiders, you fucking pussy.
So for everybody listening overseas, New Zealand and Australia are different places. Did you know that?
You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, we're separated by 3 hours of ocean on a plane. So there you go.
Don't listen to what RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under tells you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got 7 to her damage.
How much damage?
7.
Okay. So you
and
hurl...
And that's force damage.
Yeah, you hurl this... spiritual boomerang. What color is it? Is it like a glowing blue or something?
It's glowing yellow, like my lightning eyes.
Oh, cool. So it looks like a lightning boomerang.
Nice.
And yeah, you just hurl it this straight line of 60 feet, and it just whoa, 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 makes a really cool sound as it manipulates the air around it while it spins. And it just clashes with this this plant, this giant flower thing. Does it return to you in true boomerang style, or does it dissipate after it hits?
Of course it returns to me, otherwise it would just be a stick.
Okay, so yeah, it hits the flower, and there's just this sort of brief yellow blast against the side of it, and then it returns.
I'm sorry, that just really tickled me.
I'm glad JD's stick tickled you.
It's my tickle stick. Later on, we'll have a didgeridoo and we'll go down to Wallamaloo. Mm.
And now it's Mitch Elmore's turn. And at 80 feet away from you clowns, him not seeing the spider who's just sitting this one out.
Because if the spider gets hit, he loses control of the Zorn, and you don't want that. He's concentrating very hard right now.
You can't hit spiders that big. You have to spray them with hairspray first.
True. Mm. And there's no hairspray in Iceland, so he's safe.
Okay, first I'm just going to get him to roll a perception check to see if he sees the two of you, if he sees Arcus and Marley at a distance in the rain. No, he doesn't. He gets a 5. He doesn't see you. So he knows the bolts came from that direction, but he doesn't actually see you.
Am I too hazy?
Like, did that rock just hit me?
Yeah. So what he's going to do is just attack the Zorn, because that's the only enemy that he can actually see. So, Waffles, can you please, with Mr. Zorny, make a con save? DC 16.
Oh, okay.
There is an unnatural 24.
Okay, that is a save.
Ah, that 24 is unnatural, bro.
That is.
Jesus.
So this beam of light appears in the sky above the Zorn and blasts down from the sky and surrounds it in this 40-foot high cylinder of bright light, of silvery light. Mm-hmm. But the Zorn, let's see, takes half damage. Okay, so it'll take 7 damage. Of radiant damage from this moonbeam that it is now in.
Ooh, good old moonbeam.
Is it a blood moonbeam?
Yes. No, it's silvery.
Maybe.
When it starts its turn, it is engulfed in a ghostly flame that causes searing pain. It must make a con save. So it took that because it is starting its turn.
Right.
Now it Oop. Gets to act.
Alright. It just rears up and goes with everything.
Goes with everything? Right.
So it's 3 claws. Now.
Like a really nice scarf. It just goes with everything.
it's a Zorn for all seasons.
Do you remember the ruling that we made about things summoned being Chaos Cursed?
Yes.
Just what was that ruling on whether or not they were?
That because you are chaos cursed, they are
your
chaos cursed.
Too. Yeah.
Great. Because the Zorn just rolled a 1 on an.
Ah, yes.
Okay,
chaos
so the cursed. Zorn. The Zorn makes 3 attacks. Oh, 4 attacks, 3 claw and 1 bite. Holy
three
shit.
3 claw, 1 bite. Yep.
So was your intention to attack this plant creature 4 times? That it's in front of? Okay, so roll your others, and we'll resolve the Chaos Curse last.
Alright. So that's a 10, a 16, and a 22.
Okay.
As well as the net one.
Yep. 2 hits, 1 miss, and 1 Chaos Curse.
Yep.
Ah, yes, a full house.
Thought it was ordering off the cocktail menu. I'll have 2 hits, 1 miss, and a chaos curse, please.
Oh, nice.
Chuck a slippery nipple on the side.
I like to play around.
27 damage all up.
Okay, as it swipes this just maelstrom of claw, and it tries to bite with its teeth as well. And it's just this huge hulking creature making these powerful attacks that, like, there's just so much raw brute strength behind each of these swipes of its claws. And then it's because its mouth is in the top of its body, it sort of leans down to try and bite this plant creature, which is probably the same height as it, maybe. And what was that total damage amount? 20 something?
27.
Okay. Flower, how did it, how many did it have at the start? Scooby dooby 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 doo doo. Oh wow, lots.
I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high over vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils.
Okay, good. I'm glad we had that in our lives.
Just while we were waiting, I was like, what's a poem about flowers? This one. Okay. Know a bunch of them so, off the top of your head.
It does
yeah,
27
I know a bunch
damage
of poems off my heart.
To the plant flower creature, and then it has something chaotic happen to it.
Yes.
Roll me a D100, please, Wooflies.
Rolling a
D100. It sounded like I was being facetious, but I wasn't. I do know a bunch of poetry, just randomly.
Cool. What does your table say is in slot 29?
Beep, 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 biddy, beep. 29. Oh, this is fun.
Oh.
You turn into a puddle of coloured liquid.
What you colour?
You are invincible until you reform in your next turn.
My favorite thing about this was in the Pine Bridge slasher.
Turned into blood.
JD turning into blood to make the crime scene more bloody. It's stuck in my brain forever. I will never forget that. So
I
funny.
Fully forgot that.
It's so good.
So this Zorn makes just these powerful claw attacks and then a bite and then suddenly just disintegrates into what color liquid would it be, Waffles?
A reddish brown.
It turns into just this reddish brown liquid which gets very quickly diluted by the heavy rain.
Yep.
And yeah, the flower creature and probably the druid as well would be very confused. An earth elemental, a giant spider, a cloud demon, a half-elf, and a cat person team up to fight a plant guy. Ah, truly a tale as old as time. What will that giant flower do, exactly? And will Mitchell Moore prove to be a formidable foe? Will it ever stop bloody raining? Find out next time, I guess. We couldn't make this show without the love and support from our awesome Patreon donors. Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin, and James Blysis from Wheel of Woe Podcast, Sajo Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydron Faust, Lauren Flake, Kai Dealer, Rihanna Kavalsik, Kevin Sriffer and the Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nichols from the Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP Squished, Alexandra Litkites, Andrew Evans, Danny Holman from the Garout of It Podcast, Kevin Carver, Dakota Shemansky, Damien Le Breton, Andrew M., Alexander Waffles Williams, and Jared from the Indie Film Review. Thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. We genuinely could not make this show without you. Okay, everybody, that's it from me. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.
Hey Cameron, get up. It's time for us to record another episode. What stupid movie do you want to do? Cameron? Get up. Are you okay? Oh my god. Cameron is dead. Check out Bad Red Movies.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.